Thank you, Brother James. Good to see you tonight. And sure appreciate the prayer. My heart is heavy for the prayer lists tonight. We weren't aware of that news from Sister Wanda. And we certainly will keep her and Brother John in our prayers. Also had not heard that about our dear brother Dan up in Macon in regards to the loss of his child, and we sure will keep him in our prayers as well and his family. We enjoyed, I guess I say this probably often, and some folks, I guess, when they hear me say it, probably think that I'm just saying something that I've said all the time, but I truly do. I enjoyed the hymn singing tonight. I really did. I enjoyed the selection of hymns and feel like the Lord blessed us to be able to tender our hearts some and pray that He'll bless some thoughts that we have tonight. And speaking to you, I want to read to you from Philippians chapter 4. If you have your scriptures and desire to read along with us, and I want to draw your attention to verse 1 of this chapter, Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. The Lord will be with us for just a few minutes tonight. I want to draw your attention to some things that the apostle draws our mind to and calls our attention to here in these verses. One of my favorite things to look at in the scriptures whenever reading through is to see, I guess, what you could title as being closing remarks. And those closing remarks can be in places like this when a letter is coming to a close and we're in the final. Either the final chapter or the final verses of the final chapter. And you can also consider, I guess you could say, closing remarks to be things that people have written in their final moments before they went home to be with the Lord, and be able to see some things that the Lord inspired them to write at those times. I don't necessarily think that because they were written in closing that somehow they lacked in importance in comparison to the other things that they said either through their life or through the letter. But nevertheless, just some things that they made sure that they reminded the ones who were the recipients of the letter or who were hearing the remarks. For them to make sure that they heard them say, or that they saw them in reading some things that were upon their heart. And particularly the phrase "in the Lord" here in these verses. It was in three of the four, and I don't think I trust it's in all our hearts. that whenever we speak of things that we do here in this life and our actions and whatever they may be, and because of our Adamic nature, it certainly can't describe everything that we do. But I trust that it's our desire that anything that we may do in our service to the Lord, that it may be in the Lord, that the actions that we undertake and the things that we say and whatever we may do may be in the Lord. And I think when it says in the Lord, that it may be in like manner as the Lord did it, and that he being the example unto us and the one that we read the book to learn more about, the one who we bow to pray to so that we may feel closer to, so that we may have confidence that our prayer is reaching the one that we stand in need of reaching, that just in all things that it may be, that it may be like our Lord, that it may be in the Lord. And here to this church, that certainly there's no doubt here by this point that we know that the Apostle Paul loved this body of believers, that he had a great affection for them. And here in these closing verses, he tells them in verse 1 to stand fast in the Lord. To stand fast in the Lord. You know, if we were to make a list now of the number of things just today, just today, that would try to make us stumble in our walk with the Lord, and that would try to things that have been placed in our path, and the devil places them there. It's his desire for us to bail on our position that we have in our walk with the Lord, for us to bail on our place that we have in his army, that we would desert our post, that we would leave the confidence of our commander, and that we jump ship and go another way. The devil has a way of placing things there that make them look appealing, make it look like it's a better idea, to try to persuade us that the way in which we go and what we're standing for and the one that we are standing with is not worthwhile. I believe in Hezekiah's day, it was a general named Rabshakeh that spoke to those Israelites that were on the wall of Jerusalem, and that tried to persuade them that their leader was fooling them and tricking them to think that somehow that the Lord could bless them to be able to stand where they stood any longer. And he did what he could to try to persuade them to jump post, even to the point where some of those who were able to speak his language, the Assyrian language, said, "Speak to us in Assyrian instead of in Hebrew, so that all these Hebrews won't know what you're saying, so that you won't persuade them to vacate their post." You know, the devil's desire is that we would, in the army of the Lord, you know, stand fast is a military term. It's something that's given to the ones who are on the front line and are told to, in the midst of the battle, to stand there and to be present and to not bail, but to be ready to stand and to defend what it is that is behind you and that you are before. Well, you know, the same thing is true of us that are desiring to walk with the Lord in our day and time. I tell you, the charge that the Apostle Paul gave the Philippians is still very true today. The faith that we believe and the things that we stand for, they're not new. The things that Jesus preached 2,000 years ago, and they have been defended down through the ages by the ones who love the Lord, who love what he preached, who understand and believe with every ounce of their being that they're not worthy of the least of God's blessings, but yet instead, God in his mercy has seen fit to love them and to grant them a home in heaven and sent his son into this world to die for them. And those who have believed that and those who do believe it, oh, that they would stand fast in the Lord, and that they would that they would be willing, no matter what the enemy may cry and no matter what the message may be from the other side, may they, with every ounce of their being, believe that the cause that they stand for is worth standing for, to stand fast in the Lord. You know, if we don't stand for anything else, wouldn't it be worthy of us to stand for the honor of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and to be able to say that because he cried, it is finished, that we believed, that we believe, not past tense, but present tense, that we believe it is finished. And that when Jesus did what he did, that all that was necessary was complete, and that it doesn't require anything from us, that we would stand fast in the Lord, that what Jesus said is true, no matter what man may say, that we would stand fast in his promises, that just as he came and took up his abode in his mother's womb and lived for 33 and a half years and it descended to seat on the right hand of the Father on high, and that just as we believe that those same things, those things are true, which were promises of old, that just as those were fulfilled, so whenever he tells us that he's returning again to come and to take us home to be with him, no matter how long it may be, no matter when it may come, no matter whether the naysayer says, you know, where is thy God? The scoffers say, may we stand fast in the Lord and what he has promised that he will do one day. It may come in our life, it may not. But oh, may we trust and believe and stand fast in the Lord, that because he's promised, it shall come to pass. Stand fast in the Lord. You know, that command still is necessary for us today. If we desire to walk with our Lord, desire to be with him in his house, desire to do things his way, desire to believe in the truth that he preached. You see here in the very next verse, he tells Euodias and Syntyche, and I'm open for correction on those pronunciations, brethren. If you have some afterwards, I'm all right with it. Churches I serve and try to preach at get a right good kick out of hearing me give a shot at it every once in a while. So I can take it from y'all as well. Euodias and Syntyche. And if I understand right, these are two sisters that belong to that body. And what he charged them with is that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Be of the same mind in the Lord. Be like-minded is what he said in two chapters previous, to be like-minded. You know, I know no two people are identically alike, even identical twins that look just alike have differences. You know, there's unique things about all of us. And when it comes from a natural perspective, there's things that maybe some have preferences for over another. There's different, you know, even when you think about the house of the Lord. You know, I was thinking when we were at church a couple of Saturdays ago, there was some of the sisters who had a blanket wrapped around them, and there was some of the sisters that had a fan out. And they were wearing it out just as much as they could to try to generate as much air as they could to try to fan. And I thought to myself, you know, these modern day amenities we think about that are so good. You know, back in the day when there was a stove in the middle of the church, if you were cold, you could get closer to it. And if you were hot, you could move away from it. It may have been better back then than what we've got it today. You know, there's different preferences about things. But, you know, Jesus is the Savior of all his people. And he redeemed every single one of them without fail of one. And if our heart is in the right place, that provided that we believe those same things about what our Lord has done for us, oh, I believe that we can be of the same mind in the Lord. We can be like-minded. If we believe that he established his church, not man, but Jesus. And because he established it, He also established the guidelines whereby it must operate. He hasn't asked us to get creative. He's never asked us to come up with this or come up with that. Jesus made it pretty simple and pretty plain. And oh, that we would be of the same mind in the Lord, that our focus would stay upon Him and not upon ourselves, but upon the one that is should be the forefront and the center of our focus in all things in our life. And He reminded them and encouraged them to be of the same mind in the Lord. You know, it's not a given that we're always going to get along. It's not a given. It really doesn't matter which household you're talking about, whether it be the Lord's house or whether it be my own house. I'd like to meet the daddy whose youngins were always of the same mind. We can't even agree on a drive-through restaurant place in my vehicle. We're not always of the same mind. But, when we get to thinking about self, then we can get our mind off the one and get it upon ourselves. But He encouraged them to be of the same mind of the Lord, and provided that they not be able to do that themselves. I believe verse 3 is telling them, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow. And I believe he's addressing the minister there. Help those women which labor with me in the gospel and would come in also. And he may have been speaking about others in that congregation, but specifically about these two is to help one another in the Lord. You know, we need one another's help in the Lord. All of us need one another. And, it's a mighty high position to take for us to think that somehow we can just go on through this life and we can make it on our own. You know, one of the things I enjoy watching on TV whenever I get to watch a show, which isn't often, and I don't even know that I could tell you which show it is, but every once in a while somebody will take up an opportunity to move out to Alaska to the wilderness by themselves and just kind of live off the land and live to themselves, just kind of go at it themselves. But most of the time what we don't see is a lot of times, people still bring those folks some supplies from time to time. And if even nobody's even bringing them in any supplies, I can tell you that without the Lord, they couldn't survive and they couldn't make it. All of us need somebody. We're certainly dependent upon our Lord. We need one another in the household of faith. We need the prayers and the love of one another. We need the encouragement of one another. We need to help one another in the Lord. And that's what he's telling this true yoke fella, help them in the Lord. Help one another. You know, in speaking about trying to have peace and to get along in the Lord, I can remember whenever I was growing up and in our home, me and my sister may not, relations may not be real good between us at a certain point in time. And, left to ourselves, it could have kept getting worse and worse. But, my mom and daddy would intervene. Sometimes that I thought at the time there couldn't have been anything worse to do other than what they would make us do. They'd make us sit down and hold hands. They'd make us sit there and hold hands and tell one another that we love one another. I tell you, at that time, I couldn't have thought of something that I'd rather not do other than that. But my sister lives a mile down the road from me now. I'm blessed to worship with her each Lord's Day. I'm glad somebody helped us on along the way and helped us keep one another out of one another's way so that we could have peace and have peace with one another. Sometimes we need encouragement and we need that. And whether it be just in the subject of peace or whether it be in anything, may we help one another in the Lord. May we lift one another up when one's down and stands in need. There was a man who was sick of the palsy, who couldn't go and couldn't be taken to the Lord, or who couldn't go himself to the Lord whenever he needed the Lord. But he had four who were willing to bear his burden and take him at his time of need and help one that he loved. There's a mother, a Syrophoenician woman, who had a daughter who couldn't go herself to the Lord and receive the help that she needed, but because someone else helped her in her circumstance, the Lord blessed her to be healed and to have that unclean spirit removed from her. Stand fast in the Lord. Be of the same mind in the Lord. Help one another in the Lord. And last, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You know, he just said this in the previous chapter, verse 3, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. You know, I like what the preacher said one time. If something's in the word of the Lord one time, that's enough for us to pay attention to. But if it's in there more than once, certainly we should take heed to it. There you have it twice, to rejoice in the Lord. What else do we have to rejoice in? You know, we certainly without him are nothing. We certainly without his blessings don't have anything. But through him we have all things. Through him we have hope of glory. Through him we have our provisions, our daily needs. Through him we have our providential care upon us. Through him we have our daily grace, our grace to sustain us, to be able to make it in this world. Through him we, as I said, have a hope of glory. I believe we've got something to rejoice in. Rejoice in the Lord always. May the Lord bless us to do so. You know, I believe we've got a special place to rejoice in the Lord. I believe the church is a good place to rejoice in the Lord. It's a blessed Bethel spot to be able to come together and be able to collectively rejoice. But you know, we don't have to wait until then to rejoice in what the Lord's done for us. But may we take these things that the Apostle Paul told the church at Philippi and be encouraged to stand fast, be like-minded, to help one another and rejoice in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is my prayer. Thank you, Brother James, for asking us to speak tonight.